aren't you glad today to know that Jesus loves you? That Jesus loves you and me. What a blessing it is to be here in the presence of God and His people one more time. Isn't it such a privilege and an honor? Look at your neighbor and tell him it's a privilege to sit next to you. It's an honor to sit next to you today. I would like to lift my biblical text from two different passages of scripture on today. First would be 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And then we'll take a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The word of the Lord declares, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie, we deceive, we belittle, we gossip, and we defame, and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, the illumination of God's word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship, we have camaraderie, we have communion, we have an alliance, we have community with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth, the illumination of God's word is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Now quickly, let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that ye may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, we have a defender, we have a mediator, we have a campaigner with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, He is the pardon, He is the exemption, He is the remission for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." And so today I want to title this text, "Obediently Walking in the Light." Obediently walking in the light. John makes it plain among all the New Testament writers, his is the plain and practical explanation of our fellowship with God. Nothing is sugar-coated or masked in difficult language. When you read his letters to the early church, you just can't claim that it's too hard to understand or comprehend. John desires every believer to experience the indwelling of God's Spirit through their abiding relationship with Him. It is imperative that we have a relationship with God, and we understand that this relationship only comes through Jesus Christ. He writes in a way that encourages the reader to establish a bond with God through Christ Jesus himself, so that the evidence of a genuine conversation will be seen in the outward manifestation of the righteousness of God. In other words, as a believer, you will be compelled to live a life in right standing with God and before man. But there was an issue John had to face. There was a ton of false teachings going on about how to live for Christ. How many know that we still have that to this day? False teachers giving a watered-down gospel, preaching a, as Paul says, preaching a different gospel. So John refutes all the erroneous doctrine simply by encouraging all believers to know the truth. The day has already come where you and I must know the truth for ourselves. We must know the truth of God's word for ourselves. It's not enough to hear a preacher. It's not enough to hear the word taught. You've got to know the word, the rhema of God's word, the illumination of God's word. In other words, the word of God must come alive for yourself. You got to know the word. A person who accepts Christ, he says, should show some evidence of his conversion. No one should be able to question who you are and whose you are. You've got to know within your knowing, so much so that others are able to see your walk and know that you have a relationship, a vertical relationship with God. And once you've established a vertical relationship with God, and then you'll be able to have a horizontal relationship with others. Noted lyricist Lornell Harris used to sing, "If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you?" How about you? If faith in Jesus Christ was outlawed like it is in so many countries around the globe, would the judge be able to throw the book at you? Would the judge be able to say, yes, you are guilty of practicing Christianity? Would the judge be able to say that you've been walking in the light? You are guilty. Or will you be one of those who would deny Christ? We've got to know who we belong to. You got to stand up and hold up the bloodstained banner and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power to them that believe. It's the power of salvation to them that believe. Not the cross around your neck, not the Bible on your bookshelf, but it is the power. It is the illumination of God's word that is being walked out in your everyday life. The young people say today, they say you got to walk it out. We got to walk the word out in our lives so that people will be able to see that Jesus is real, for I can feel him in my everyday life. I can feel him in my soul. Therefore, I'm speaking him from my lips of clay. Why? Because he's real to me. Which brings me to point number one in my message. First, John says we need to walk in the light because Christ is in the light. Watch this. Christ is not, nor has he ever been, in darkness. In fact, Jesus Christ has nothing, no dealings with darkness. He is light. He is illumination. He is clarity. Jesus is the light. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Sometimes we wonder why it is we don't have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Could it be that we're not walking in the light of Christ? Could it be, like Paul says, that we are walking in the light of some other strange gospel? Because whenever you walk in the light of Jesus Christ, you should have evidential fellowship one with another. You cannot love God and not love your brothers and sisters. You cannot say that you're worshiping God, serving God, and projecting the illumination of the light of Christ and not have love for your brothers and sisters. Can't say you're living for God and hating on someone else because they have something that you don't have. Because they've been assigned to do something you have not been assigned to do. You cannot say that you are living for the Christ, Jehovah God, and not love your brothers and sisters. That's what John is talking about in our text. And so have you ever watched fireflies? Anybody ever watch fireflies? They light up. Some people call them lightning bugs. Fireflies. The interesting thing about fireflies is that you may see one firefly, but before long you're going to see a multitude. You may even see hundreds of fireflies, because the reality is that fireflies never travel alone. They always travel in a pack. And as they begin to light up or illuminate their light, what they're doing is they're communicating with each other. And if you notice, is they will light all simultaneously at the same time, because it is important to them to come together to defend off the predators. There are predators, birds and animals, which would want to eat them and devour them. And so because they work together and light up their area, most animals go the other way, because they understand there must be something different or significant or powerful about these insects, because they're lighting up in a way that no other insect has the capacity to do so. And so here it is, their superpower. They're using their superpower to defend themselves. Did you not know that when we come together as a body of believers, we have a superpower called Jesus Christ on the inside of us, and it causes us to light up a dark and dying world, an ever-increasing dark and dying world. We become the light that illuminates in a dark place. So large groups of fireflies sometimes blink in unison or at the same time. Even the firefly eggs, even the eggs light up. They light up as to fight off the predators, to scare off the predators. Firefly light can be yellow, green, or even orange. And fireflies mostly use their lights to talk to each other. They communicate, which is that gives them the power to defend themselves. And here it is, they don't have any poison like certain spiders and snakes. They don't. Their superpower, their ability to protect themselves is the light that they use to fend off predators. Like John, I'm trying to make it plain, no one should have to twist your arm to get you to fellowship, to love your brothers and sisters. You ought to, as a believer, automatically love your brothers and sisters. You ought to automatically communicate, talk to your brothers and sisters. Amen, somebody. In fact, we should not enter into a new year holding a grudge against your brothers and sisters. If you got an ought, the scripture lets us know, if you have an ought against your brother, you ought to lay your gift at the altar and get it right with your brother. You should never desire to forsake the assembly of your brothers and sisters. Because this thing called Christianity is founded upon a rock, a solid rock, a sure foundation, at which our chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is the head of the church. How many know that the pastor is not the head of the church? The deacons are not the head of the church. The treasurer is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. There's not a single individual in this body who shed any blood for the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And he's given us this commission. He's given us this charge to love one another, to be forgiving for one another, to be long-suffering towards one another. That's the Bible. That we have been commissioned to love one another. And so, they're like the early church in Acts who continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Why was it important for them to do this? Because it created and it sustained a level of holy camaraderie amongst the brothers and sisters. Because they prayed together, they fellowshiped together, they broke bread together. And it built a fellowship, a love, a camaraderie one with another. And the scripture lets us know that one can chase 1,000. But look at your neighbor and tell him two is able to put 10,000 to flight. You know how many devils we could run if we all got together? If we really got together with one mindset, with one agenda and one focus, we could run the enemy out of town. Point number two. John says we need to confess our sins because of our need for the light. How many know that you and I need the light? And we don't just need the light for today. We don't just need the light for the rest of this year. But how many know we're going to need more of that light in 2025? Oh, bless his holy name. We're going to need more of that light in a way like never before. We need more of the light. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what is the prerequisite? The prerequisite is that you and I must confess our sins. There must be a confession. Confession does not stop on the day of our conversion. It does not stop on the day of our conversion. Because John says, if we say that we have no sin, watch this, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. He says, if you say that you have not sinned, you're deceiving yourself. No man is able to fool God. But nowadays, you can't even fool people. You definitely can't fool children. He said, if you say that you have not sinned, you deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. The illumination of God's word is not in you. The light that projects and dispels darkness is not in you. So the reality is that we must keep on confessing. That's the reason why it's so important that we come to church and assemble together, that we come to the altar and we seek God in prayer and we ask God to forgive us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. We have to pray and ask God to forgive us on a daily basis. John says, if we say that we have not or no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Because confession is a sign of repentance. I'm going to say it again. Confession is a true sign of repentance. If you're able to confess, then you can repent. If a person refuses to say, I'm sorry, if they've wronged you, then they can never get to the stage of repentance, because you cannot speak it out of your mouth. Because speaking it out of your mouth is a direct admission of guilt that, yes, I was wrong and I'm asking for forgiveness. And now you are able to move into the stage of repentance. And what happens after repentance? Jesus cleanses you and he covers you under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And no one and no thing will ever be able to hold that thing over your head ever again. Why? Because it's been covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have been cleansed. Therefore, if you're holding anything against anyone, you are walking in sin, you're walking in darkness, and you're not walking in the light. I want to challenge you in this very moment to release anyone or anything that you're holding captive, because it is holding you from what God has predestined for you, what God has planned for your life. When you hold grudges, you're not hurting the person that you're holding a grudge against, but you're hurting yourself, because you're preventing God from being able to cleanse you. Because watch this, God will never ever go against his word. And he cannot bless you, he cannot cover you, if you're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart towards someone or something. You must be freed in your spirit. You must be freed in your mind. You must be renewed in your mind by the renewing of God's word. Praise the name of the Lord. Sin is in our very nature. It's in our very nature to sin. Since the fall of Adam, this is why David declared, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David realized that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, yet he acknowledged his sinful nature from the moment of conception. What does shapen in iniquity mean? Iniquity in the Hebrew is avon, and means to bend, to twist, or distort. That simply means that we've been distorted. We've been twisted. We are deformed until we've been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And that blood makes us whole. It makes us renew. It makes us clean. Consequently, every person born into this world has inherited the guilt of Adam's sin. Thus, every baby is born a sinner. How many know you don't have to tell a baby how to lie? You know, a baby will spill milk on the floor and you walk in, that child could be holding the milk in their hand. And you say, did you spill this, Johnny? No. You don't have to teach a child how to lie, but you do have to teach them how to tell the truth by instilling the truth in them. Our Adamic nature is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We inherited it. That's why it's vital that we on a daily basis confess our faults one to another. We repent unto God and say, God, forgive me. Because there are sins. There are two kinds of sins. There's a sin of commission and there's a sin of omission. And many times we sin knowing that we sin, but other times we sin not knowing. Because you may say something or do something not knowing that it is sin. And so we have to ask God, Lord, cover me from sins of omission and commission. Keep me under the blood. Keep me under the blood. Praise his holy name. Thirdly and finally, John says we need to keep God's commandments to prove that we do know the light. How many know the light? I say, how many know the light? You know the light. You know that Jesus Christ is the light. Buddha is not the light. Muhammad is not the light. You know that Jehovah God is the light. He is the light. He is the illumination. He is the reason why we breathe, we move, and we have our being. It's because of Jesus Christ. You've got to know within your knowing. And how do you know within your knowing? It's by knowing the Word of God and walking in the Word. That's how you walk it out in your life. You've got to know the Word and walk that Word out in your everyday life. You can't put it down on tomorrow, on Monday, and live in darkness until you get back to church. No, you've got to live in the light by walking in the commandments of God's Word. That's why the scripture says we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing. That's not just for the preacher, but you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. Otherwise, you won't be able to call a spirit. He said you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Not set you, but make you free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And so that's obediently following the light, he says. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. No one can tell you that they know God and they are a liar, they're a cheater. That they're following the world system. You cannot say that you know God and you're following the world system. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3, verses 10 through 12, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Good God of Zion. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. Watch this. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, he said, I'm going to follow hard after God. I'm going to follow hard after God's word. I'm going to follow hard after the example of Jesus Christ, because as long as I follow after him, I'll stay out of the flesh and remain in the spirit. Paul was so committed to the gospel that he desired to be conformed to the death of Jesus Christ, which simply means that he was willing to deny himself. He was willing to deny himself daily and follow after Christ, denying his own will, denying his own intellect, denying his own spirit. How many know your spirit will wander all over the place, but you need to be connected to the Spirit of God. That's why it's so imperative that you and I have the Holy Ghost. It's important for you and me to have the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will not allow your spirit to wander. Because your spirit needs to be connected to the Holy Spirit. And when your spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit, your soulish man remains under control. What is your soul? It's your will, what you want, your intellect, what you think.
and your emotions, how you feel. And when your soulish man is not connected to your spirit, which is connected to the Holy Spirit, then your soulish man is like a raft in the sea that is floating to and fro, moved by every wind of doctrine. But the soulless man must be grounded by your spirit man, which is grounded by the Holy Spirit. So Paul was committed to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was committed to walking in the word, living in God's word, breathing in God's word. Because when you're walking in God's word, you don't have to worry about going astray. Because you're living by the word. You're walking in the word. You're breathing by the word of God. Elijah heard it as a still, small voice. The Apostle James said that if you want to hear God's voice, he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You've got to be able to follow the voice of God, follow the precepts of God's word, study God's word, walk in God's word, live God's word, day in and day out. Believers have their responsibilities, their battles we have to fight, temptations we have to resist, habits we have to break, trials we have to endure, and enemies we have to conquer. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask, think, or even imagine. If you walk in the word, live in the word, talk the word, preach the word, speak the word, declare the word of God will never ever fail you. God commands us to follow him. And if we make sure that we don't give up God's will, make sure we hold on to that solid rock, Because the world is full of sin. It's dark. It's constantly increasing in its level or its capacity of darkness. It's a dark world. There are vices that God will replace with his virtue. Disgrace will be traded for honor. Immortality will be exchanged for mortality. And guilt will be superseded by innocence. If you simply walk in the light, obediently walk in the light of God's word, and when judgment day comes, there will be an indisputable, overwhelming opportunity for you to lift up your head, knowing that you're a child of God, that you've been bought with a price. And you've been guided by his hand. You walk in the grace of the Lord. And so what condition is it to be filled when you're walking in the light of the Lord? What communion to be found when we have fellowship one with another? What cleansing that follows the blood of Jesus Christ, his blood that reaches to the highest mountain, and that same blood flows to the lowest valley? It's the blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never ever lose its power. One songwriter says that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, and they lose all their guilt and stain. What is the definition of light? God is light, according to 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What is light? Jesus is light. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is light? Light is parallel with truth. Psalm 43:3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Light keeps company with understanding and wisdom. In other words, if you want wisdom and understanding, remain in the light. Remain in the light of God's word. You will have understanding. You will have wisdom. You will have clarity about your life. When you're in the world and you're partaking in the sinful nature of this world, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have confusion. You're going to have gossiping around you, backbiting. But when you begin to walk in the light of God's word, God's word will give you wisdom. He will give you understanding. He will give you illumination. So much so that those people who used to come around you with gossip, they will see that there's something different about you, and they'll have to go and find somebody else to dump their garbage on. Why? Because light keeps company with understanding and wisdom, and not chaos and confusion. Daniel 5:14 says, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. When you walk in the word of God, you will have understanding. You will have excellence about you. You will become a peculiar individual. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're a peculiar people. Tell him you're a part of a peculiar tribe. You're strange. You're different. There is a light about you. Anything not in harmony with God's word is not light. Isaiah 8:20 says this, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. If you belong to God and you have God's word in you, you ought not speak darkness out of your mouth. Scripture says that you shouldn't even speak upon those things. You shouldn't even speak on those things. There are certain things that we as believers ought to pray about. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't talk about it, pray about it. Give it to God. Because remember, we're not a part of that chaos. Darkness is chaos. It is confusion. And when you belong to God, you have no part with chaos. Because you are part of a righteous nation, a peculiar people. So this light will replace your torments with his triumph. This light will replace your cares with his comfort. It will replace your hurts with his healing, your burdens with his blessings, your sorrows with his joy. The song said, I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading it for the joy of the Lord. Is there anybody here who's made up in your mind that in this new year of 2025, you're trading all of that sickness, all of that pain, all of that sorrow for the joy of the Lord? If that's you, you ought to give God a praise right there. Come on, open up your mouth and give God praise, Zion. Come on, let the Lord hear it. Open up your mouth and give God praise. Give God a Shabbat. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout. Let the redeemed of the Lord Shabbat. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you been redeemed from the hand of your enemy? Are you obediently walking in the light? Has God paid the price for you? Come on, lift up your voices in this house. Lift up your voices like a trumpet in Zion. Let the world hear your praise. Come on, let everything that has breath praise the name of the Lord. Come on, Zion. Come on, he's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of being celebrated. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is great. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is merciful. Oh, taste and see that the healer is here. Oh, taste and see that the great physician is here. Oh, taste and see that the chief cornerstone is here. Lift up your voices. This light will turn your wailing into dancing. Remove your sackcloth and clothe you with joy. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my sackcloth. I'm trading it for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading it for the joy of the Lord. You ought to get it in your spirit. I'm trading it. This light will restore to you the joy of your salvation and grant you a willing spirit and sustain you. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Is there anybody here who could testify and say that the Lord has done great things for you in 2024? The Lord has kept you. He's kept your mind. He's kept your heart. He's kept your body. He's kept your spirit. He's kept your children. He's kept your home. He's kept your bank account. He's kept you in perfect peace. He's kept you. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, God has kept me. The Lord has kept me. He's kept me. Therefore, I've got a reason to praise God. I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to shout. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver us out of them all. I've got a reason to shout. I've got a reason to shout. Because he's the rewarder to them that diligently seek him. I've got a reason to shout. For God has been faithful to 1,000 generations. And I know he's going to continue to be faithful unto me. Look at your neighbor, tell him, I've got a reason to shout. Tell him, I've got a reason to shout. I've got food on my table. That's a reason to shout. I've got clothes on my back. That's a reason to shout. I've got money in my bank account. That's a reason to shout. I've got employment. That's a reason to shout. My body is well. That's a reason to shout. I'm in my right mind. That's a reason to shout. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, I can find 10 reasons to give God praise. I'm praising him because he's been good. I'm praising him because he's a great God. I'm praising him because he's a keeper. I'm praising him because he's a healer. I'm praising him because he's water when I'm thirsty. I'm praising him because he's away in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm praising him because he's bread when I'm hungry. I'm praising him because he's water when I'm thirsty. I'm praising him because he was wounded for my transgression. bruise for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. I'm praising him because he kept my mind. I'm praising him because he kept me in good peace. I'm praising him because he's a rewarder. Because some trust in chariots and some in horses. But look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, we will remember the name of the Lord, because his name is above every name. For at the name of Jesus, I feel like preaching, every knee must bow, and at the name of Jesus, every tongue must confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. For that reason, that even when I'm in the valley, I still owe him a praise. When I'm on the mountaintop, I still owe him a praise. When I have money in the bank, I owe him a praise. When I don't have a dime to my name, I still owe him a praise. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise is God. I'm here preaching. Look at the neighbor, tell him his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I'm gonna bless him in the good times. I'm gonna bless him in the bad times. I shall bless him when I'm up. Bless him when I'm down. Bless him when I'm almost level to the ground. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody hold me like Jesus. Can't nobody deliver like Jesus. Can't nobody heal like Jesus. Can't nobody pay me like Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell them, nobody, nobody is able to do me like Jesus. He turns my weeping into laughter. He turns my mourning into dancing. He gives us what we need on a daily basis. He meets our needs out of his riches in glory. He offers us citizenship in heaven with him one day. And all the best stuff. Look at your neighbor and tell them, the best is yet to come. It's 2024. We're looking at 2025. And I come to tell you that your best is still yet to come. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, you ain't seen nothing yet. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things God has in store for you. Look at your neighbor and prophesy real good and tell them, your best is about to happen. Your best, good God of Sion, is yet to come. God is about to do something new in your life. God is about to do something new in your family's lives. God is about to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, there's an open heaven over you. The windows, God, I feel that, of heaven are open. I come to prophesy that the windows of heaven are open for you, that something good is about to happen. Something ridiculous is about to happen. truth. I dare you to lift up your hands and begin to give God thanks. Offer up thanks unto God for doing it in your life. Lift up your hands and say, God, I thank you. I praise you. I magnify you for doing it in my life. Lift those hands. Lift those hands. Lift those hands and begin to tell God, thank you. Thank you for newness. Thank you for breaking up the fallow ground. Thank you for newness. Come on, why don't you be honest with God and say, God, it's been difficult. 2024 has been difficult. It's been relentless. I can give my own testimony. 2024 has been difficult for me and my family. It's been a valley experience. But look at your neighbor and tell him, but God. He's a healer. But God is a waymaker. But God is a redeemer. But God is able to renew the strength of those who wait upon the Lord. And be of a good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. I declare strength. I declare that God strengthens your household, that he strengthens you in this new season. Look at your neighbor. I don't want you to touch him, but I want you to declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to your neighbor, be strengthened. Tell him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be strengthened. Be strengthened in your body. Be strengthened in your relationships. Be strengthened in your finances. Come on, declare it. Be ye strengthened in the name of the Lord. And so Satan, come on, declare it. Satan, we rebuke you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me you would not devour the seed any longer. You would not devour the promise. You would not abort the assignment that God has predestined for our lives. For we declare newness. We declare strength in this new season. And if that's you, I want you to make your way to this altar. If that's you, you say, I need strength. I need strength for this new season. If that's you, I want you to come. If you're not ashamed to say, God, I want strength. I need strength. Don't focus on who might be watching you. If you need strength in this season, come. Don't ponder it over. Come, come. Come, come. Come, come. You say, I need strength. I need to be strengthened. Does not matter the area. But the Lord wants to strengthen you in this moment. He wants to strengthen you in this moment. The Lord wants to strengthen you in this moment. Strengthen this moment.